'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have
it. Woo! You're the best around! Sorry for the screech, my man. No. Yeah! 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 Rich Piana, your mama, wanna bum ya like a Saddam. Ha ha! Yo, I'm screaming so loud I came up in both mics as I look at the waves. Hi, this is the Cap Figure Podcast. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
I'm Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Rich Piana.
Yo, so Rich Piana is a internet famous meathead clown high on drugs at all times who makes 17-minute videos about his steroid plan, and he looks just like Bradley Zimmer, we discovered here on the show. You can Google image them. I know what you're saying, Ryan. This is an audio medium. Why are you talking about visual stimuli? But shut up. So it's Cap Figure episode 51. This is a podcast episode 51, right?
This is.
Who are some baseball players? Before we get into all the blazing baseball stuff we're going to talk about, who are some players who wore the number 51, Tom?
You know, I was thinking about on the way over here, I'm just going to drop this on you and then just walk out the door, because 51 is a phenomenal number.
We've been due for a phenomenal number, right? What was the last phenomenal number we did, too?
41.
Jeter, bro.
24. Right. So 51, we got Randy Johnson, wore it for 20 years, 101 WAR player.
Did you say he worked for 20 years?
He
worked?
Wore it. He wore
oh,
it.
Oh, he wore it. Well, wore okay. it. He warned it. All right.
He warned that number. And then we've also got Trevor Hoffman, 18 years.
Who's he, like the second best closer of all time?
No, maybe like the eighth.
Dick. Who is the second best? 20, Billy Wagner?
He has a 28 WAR in 18 years.
That's
Trevor
that's
Hoffman.
Not that great.
He's terrible.
He's not a Hall of Famer. He's an example of why saves is a stupid stat.
Exactly. And then we got Bernie Williams. And Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh, wow. Dude, those are good players. Are there any current players? Oh, Ichiro currently plays. Any other current players?
Not really. But we got maybe the name of the century on this list. And I remember this growing up, too. Heathcliff Slocum.
Wow, that's really good. Heathcliff Slocum.
He was a relief pitcher. Yeah,
my name would unfortunately be Ryan Fastcum, because I really only last a minute or two these days.
Slocum.
Heathcliff Slocum. I love Heathcliff, the cartoon, the theme song, actually, so that's a cool name. I thought you were gonna say like a 1920s name, like Clayton Bigsby, or like, you know, old lefty, big old
Chester,
lefty righty.
Chester McGillicuddy.
Chester McGillicuddy righty. Gaylord righty. Gaylord pitcher. All right. So today what we're going to talk about is just some trade value, because there's a troll/idiot in our fantasy league who we have in common, who I'll explain the backstory in a minute. But we're going to discuss trade values, right? And then maybe some other jump offs. But first, one more thing about number 51s. Who is your favorite of those? I didn't even ask you. You like Ichiro? I know you like Randy Johnson, right? You got love for tall, creepy guys?
Yeah, I think
he does photography now a lot. That's creepy.
I like Randy Johnson. I always liked him when I was a kid, too.
I know that about you, actually, because we're friends.
That's why I like Madison Bumgarner, too.
Well, you like big lefties?
Yeah.
Is Madison Bumgarner tall? Like Randy Johnson was what, like 6'8"? He's like a giant.
Yeah, I think he was 6'10", even.
Dude, that's crazy.
Mad Bum's not that big.
I remember when Ichiro got 4,000 hits real quick, but it was on a fit. You know, it was like he had his 4,000th hit Japan and here. Yep. All the Teamsters I was working with were so mad. They were like, they're going to tell me that they have the fucking balls to tell me hits in Japan count the same? They don't! Like, they were so disrespected for some reason. Like, all right, so anyway.
Pete Rose was disrespected, too. Dude. On his Twitter account, at his restaurant in Las Vegas, he has this chair of bats, and it's like everything is Pete Rose, hit king. And he was, like, sitting in the chair saying, I'm still the hit king.
Well, when, like, Ichiro passed him or whatever?
Right after Ichiro hit that.
Oh,
whatever.
Wow, that
did. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember you telling me.
Like, so defensive.
I remember when we saw Pete Rose's restaurant in Vegas, you told me that. I was like, wait, how is he going to say he's not a gambler? All right. He's like on methadone. Yeah, that's crazy. He's like a heroin addict on methadone. Like, he's not clean from gambling. He definitely still gambles. All right, dog. So, I'll tell the story and then I'll let you have the flow. But so basically what prompted us, we're going to discuss trade value a little bit, and then we were thinking about fantasy trade value versus like real trade value. And basically, how do you want to frame this? It's like two for ones, right? Like, what is the value? How much better would you need to get at a position in order to give up like two good players, right? Like, I got into this argument with a kid in our league who both offered us in very bad trades, right? And both of them, he was looking to get one good player from you, Joey Votto.
One elite player,
right. He wanted from you, Joey Votto, who's probably the third or second best. He's the second best first baseman in our league so far this year, right?
Correct.
And for me, he wanted Daniel Murphy, who was the first and is now the second. Altuve passed him with two doubles and two triples or whatever last night. But he was looking for the second best player at position, and he was offering us garbage he picked up off the waiver wire, right? So yep. He offered you Eric Hosmer and Trevor Cahill. So like,
but it started off as like Mike Napoli and Trevor Cahill for
right.
Luis
or
Severino
Chris Davis, right?
And
didn't
Joey
he offer
Votto.
You? He offered you.
Yeah, he sweetened the deal with Khris Davis. Yeah, he dropped that in too. So it was like, oh well, here, take this.
But
take
it was a pile of garbage.
Three
yeah.
players who like. Khris Davis maybe has a little bit more value, but take these three players and just give me one great player.
Right, and to us, we, like you and I, because we understand stuff, and hopefully everyone does except this kid, like you can't, this kid was offering these insulting trades repeatedly. Like he got our phone numbers, we don't know him, he lives in Texas and has been texting us. And anyway, I explained to him multiple times, he seems to think that on a scale 1 to 100, you can trade 250s and get a 95 in return or something. Like, because yeah. of the slots, there's a finite number of players you can play every day. There, it is absolutely not the sum of the parts just equals the whole. It's like you need great parts because you can only play so many players every day. Obviously, to most people, that goes without saying, right?
Well, you're totally right, and the sort of. The connection I made in my mind to this when you're talking about the finite number of slots, I view that as my salary cap.
Right,
you know,
right.
Every
oh, yeah.
player theoretically has the same value in this exercise per se, but...
What
like,
do you mean in this exercise?
Well, I'm saying because, like, there's a finite number of slots.
Right.
And they're all... So, like, the scarce thing is the roster spots as opposed to, like... In real life, players have had different salaries.
Okay.
So, what I'm getting at is, like, you have a resource, which is roster spots, right? And you are trying to create the best team. Each of those spots has value in and of itself.
Oh, I understand
like
what you're saying. Right, right. We don't have any... That's our salary cap.
Right.
Each player costs us the same thing, theoretically, at this point. I understand.
Correct.
To hold on to. Okay. But we'll get into what it means for real baseball in a minute, but just first, I know I just explained it, but this kid annoyed me and Tom so much so that I wrote a post on capfigure.com. You could see I took screenshots of our text conversation because this kid just he texts me, "Hey, this is KJ's Crusher, blah blah blah." And if you're listening, all good. I love you now. He and I worked out a deal, which I'll explain in a minute. But
no beef.
No beef, bro. No beef. But
just crapping all over you.
Yeah, no beef. I'm just about to bash you for the first 15 minutes of my podcast. And on my sports blog, I wrote a whole article cursing yeah. about you.
No beef, but I hope this goes viral, KJ.
No beef, but I hope you die. Yeah. So he offered me first... he wanted Murphy, right? And he goes, yeah. Daniel Murphy, right. Sorry, yeah. Daniel Murphy. And he was like, how about you, Darvish, and Daniel Murphy for Chris Bryant and then two pieces of trash? Like two, I don't even remember. And I was like, no, but I took him seriously because he's offering
Chris
Bryant.
Bryant,
right? And so yes. I'm like, okay, this kid's willing to part with his big pieces. Let me talk to him. Then he offers me Chris Owings, who is a shortstop center fielder who's having a great start from Arizona, but never has been that good.
No track record.
And he has some steals. And for those who don't know, it's a 7x7 head-to-head weekly categories league. and no track record. He offers me Chris Owings and Brian Dozier, which is, again, pretty okay. But
not Chris Bryant in that deal, though.
No.
He took
and
Chris
now this
Bryant
is
out.
Just for Daniel Murphy now, okay. though. But he, but his first just Daniel Murphy offer is Brian Dozier and Chris Owings, which is okay. I just happen to hate Brian Dozier, and I looked at his number. I don't need the strikeouts, right? So I said, no good. And also, that's really, I'm moving down from the second best second baseman to the 10th best,
yep.
and then getting an upgraded center field. So anyway, then he offers me Chris Owings, and who did he offer me? Then he offered me Chris Owings and
Chris Davis.
Somebody worse. Yeah,
Cahill.
Chris Davis. Somebody like that, right? Or no, he offered me Owings and Hosmer, who is worse in value than Brian Dozier,
because
he's a first baseman. Then I said, no, I want Greg Holland and Marcell Ozuna. And he, this fuckface, sorry, you iTunes, don't give us the explicit. He texts me back, ooh, that's tough for me. That's my best closer and my best outfielder. How about I give you, Chris Owings, and he named some other garbage again. And I was like, no, dude. I literally texted, no, that's neither player I asked for. This idiot, and I wrote this in the story, just basically went into a store, but picked up razors, right? Picked up a product, goes to the cashier. They ring up the price, and he's like, oh, $32. I really, that's my best money. I don't want to spend that money.
Yeah.
I was hoping to shave for free. Can I give you four? And they're like, what the fuck? You called me, dick. You came into
exactly.
the CVS. And so I'm like, that's the price. And anyway, he just didn't seem to understand. And I didn't know if he was trolling me or he just didn't understand. But I think he truly thinks that 260s equals 120, you know. But so anyway, then this is the worst, and then we'll move on. But he offered me the most insane three-team deal ever. He tried to have me give up Daniel Murphy and James Paxton, and I was going to get back Trevor Rosenthal, who's not even a closer, because I said I wanted saves, and Chris Owings. So the deal's gotten worse every time. This fucking.
So you gave up the two best players. And,
I gave up the two best and got back the worst two, and then I wrote an article about it. And I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, I was like, do you realize what you offered me? And he's like, yeah, well, I just thought you valued the saves and steals differently. I was he has five steals, like, also, and he's not a closer.
Well, you thought wrong, bro.
And so, but anyway, now today we finally worked out a deal. He ended up getting Matt Carpenter. I traded Daniel Murphy for Matt Carpenter and Justin Verlander. I'm hyped. Maybe I'll see Kate Upton in the clubhouse. Do you think that was a good deal?
I do. I think that's more than a fair deal. And
yeah, I moved down maybe only three spots in the second baseman rankings, right?
And I like Carpenter because you can play him at first, second, or third.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in having the players – we talk about this a lot – having players that can play multiple spots, because I kind of view like I have a finite number of positions each day – 7 days independently. Like, I want to get as many at-bats as I possibly can.
You know, right. This season, your point, I'm more on board with your, like, position versatility advocating now that I'm in a daily league. I've only played in weekly points leagues before.
Oh, daily.
And it doesn't matter
as
much.
Right.
It still matters when your guys are injured here or there. Like, I can put Gene Segura here, you know, move guys around. Daily matters a lot more.
Exactly.
So now with all this said, this got Tom and I thinking, right? What's the comparison? What would you need to give up a Daniel Murphy in real baseball, right? And or in general, like a 2-for-1 where the guy is giving up one good piece, the better piece. What would you need in return? Or what do you think the differences are when you're hashing that out in real baseball?
So, I mean, the extra variable that comes into place is obviously the Major League salary cap, right?
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, and there's 32 teams, but...
Well, that too, correct. Yeah. So you have, but...
yes, you know, no.
So there are more
I'm
players.
I'm with you.
So the big variable is the salary cap. And so I guess the way that it would work for me is if I were a GM... I wouldn't mind trading an elite player who's, let's say, on a big contract and getting back two above-average players who, say, are early on in their career and still have controllable years. So in that sense, I think that transaction can then make sense because you're providing a lot of value in terms of the salary you're saving. you know, because then it's those two players. You have now two good young pieces.
But let's take the salary out for fun, just for conversation's sake. What would you take, like, say they all have 1 year left and they're all veterans. It's just for this year. I know this is a silly vacuum, but I'm just testing your theory on it. Would you give up? Would you give up like a 95 overall first baseman for two 80s at like, you know, left field and center field or something, and you have 70s there now? Like, and your backup first baseman is a 75, right? So the gap, you're still gaining a total of 20 points in MLB The Show ratings or whatever.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the metric that I would use to judge that transaction.
What, MLB be, The Show ratings?
No, what you're talking about, which is like incremental war, right?
Yeah.
So like if my left fielder and my right fielder are currently 70s, like you're saying, and my starting first baseman is, say, the star, he's a 90, and then my backup first baseman is, say, what'd you say, 75, right?
Yeah.
So that's a 15 drop off.
Well,
I
made it
95,
player. 75. I made it even, but whatever.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Say 90, 70.
Yeah, 90, 70. So I would have to get at least 20 of an increase if I get a left fielder and a right fielder back.
With your numbers, you're saying. If your backup first baseman is 15 points worse or whatever?
Correct.
I got you. Yeah, I still think that it's not equal, right? It's not like
you need a little bit more.
Yeah, you have to if you're the one giving up the one still, because even though there's a salary cap in real baseball, there's still only so many players in your lineup every day, obviously, right? That's the roster spot. Like, that's where to fantasy real life matters, because at a certain point, you can only upgrade so much at each position, obviously, and it's diminishing returns, obviously, right? Like, at some point, to move up from a 90 to a 95, you got to pay the same amount that it would take you to move up from a 60 to an 80.
Yeah, if not more.
Right, probably much more.
Yes.
But it's really interesting philosophically, like, because then you look at, like, they say, quote-unquote, stars and scrubs teams that are built like this. Like, the Angels could stand, the Angels, maybe you could say, theoretically, say the Giants a year or two ago were like, we'll give you our whole infield minus Posey. I would do that if I were the Angels.
Yeah.
I would take Brandon Crawford, Joe Panic, Brandon Belt, and Arroyo, or whoever the third baseman was, right?
Matt Duffy.
Because that's a good example. They're all better than except now Andrelton Simmons, but besides him, they're all better than the Angels infield, right?
I agree, yes.
But Mike Trout is, like, the best player of our generation, obviously. I don't know.
And this also kind of goes back to, too, like, it depends what the timeline is for where the team, right? Because there's a difference in building a team that's good for the regular season and building a team that can perform at a high enough level get to the postseason.
Which is a postseason team, would you say? A stars and scrubs team?
I would say that I would usually rather have the stars and scrubs in the postseason if my only goal is to win.
How about
the World
rotations
Series.
Equal? Would you? I'd rather have, like, if we're just talking about the lineup, I'd rather have all 80s, like the Royals or the Giants, versus, I mean, maybe I'm biased with what we've seen recently, but I'd almost rather have that than, like, the Tigers with me, or the Blue Jays, right, with, like, five great hitters and then crappy hitters or something, if the pitching is equal.
Right.
But when you add aces into it, then stars and scrubs wins you World Series.
Absolutely.
But this is – it's also, like you said, whenever you're talking about team building, you have to separate it into two categories. The postseason, which is this – insanely awesome but random tournament that we've built to determine the winner versus
one game,
like,
wild card. Yeah.
Exactly. And even 5-game, 7-game series is small relative to the whole season, as opposed to 162 game, like, legitimately best team. The rotation shrinks, everything shrinks, right?
Yep.
So, like, especially with starting pitching, if you're a team going to the postseason, it's way worth it to trade Brandon Finnegan and some other pitcher who may be an 80 for Johnny Cueto, right, if you're the Royals, like they did a couple years ago.
And same with the last year's deadline. You saw the Indians give away, three top 100 prospects for Andrew Miller.
You think it applies with relievers? Like,
I guess so, right? Because if he's providing that much extra value, which Andrew Miller definitely did, you know, it's the same thing, right? Like you're selling future wins for wins this season.
Right, right, right. Also, and you're selling future wins that could be way more than the wins you're gaining this year, right? You're trading a more known added wins this year for a giant variable amount. My hands are far apart, like range of outcomes in the future, right?
Yeah, it's the same with like financial lending in a certain sense, right? Like you're getting a small amount today. If you lend money to somebody, there are a wide range of outcomes, but more times than not, you're pretty sure you're going to get back more money than you gave that person.
Right, right, right. So it's worth it. Yeah. So are you telling people don't borrow money? You're getting screwed?
There is a value to getting that money for whatever it is you want to buy.
Well, obviously, right, right.
So you have to compensate for that, but...
So you're not saying the Indians or the whoever's are stupid?
No, they're
not. The Yankees?
They're not stupid at all.
They're all idiots. No, I don't know. I'm trying to, like, skip Bayless you into a corner. All right, so the other part of this discussion is positionally, right? Like, with positional scarcity, quote-unquote, it depends on not only your backup at a position, but are there easily available 80s at first base, right? In our scenario we painted,
yep,
you have a star 95 first. Say you're this red. Say you have Joey Votto, and your backup is just somebody who, I don't even know who their backup first baseman is, but somebody decent, right? Say Adam Duvall or whatever, 80 overall, 75 overall. If there are a bunch of 80s available that offseason, obviously, then it's much more worth it for you to give up the gap, right? Give up that player to get good in a spot where they're not readily available. So with this in mind, it's hard to judge, as you noted before we started recording, position to position, because when you look at WAR rankings, that already is accounting for the rareness at the position.
Correct.
But would you rather have, and I know this is very, for the sake of conversation, maybe simple or whatever, to be using the MLB The Show overall 1 to 100 ratings? But one, shut the fuck up, and two, I'm obsessed with the show, and three, Tom, I beat Tom.
Yeah, you're better than me now.
Yeah, because I don't have a life. But you used to beat me all the time, remember?
I used to be really good at
every
that
time
game.
You'd beat me.
My pitching was just, like, outrageous.
Why is Jadakiss, by the way, if anyone wants to play me. It's a girl anime.
Watch out for the quick pitch.
You taught me that. Oh, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Actually, let me ask you now. Speaking of quick pitching, one, I never mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Addison Reed, I tweeted about it, but there was a game where Odubel Herrera said, and he notoriously takes forever to get in the batter's box after pitches, and he says he likes to troll the pitchers and piss them off. And by the way, as you know, he has the weirdest batting stance of all time. Like, he's a clown.
Yeah.
I hated him, and then he had a good season, and then I liked him. But anyway, so he was taking forever to get in the box, and Addison Reed just threw a strike right down the middle, quick pitched him. That was strike two, and then he struck out because he was, like, all frammist. But that was so within Addison Reed's right to do, and I always feel that way. But last night, what happened? Kevin Pillar got quick pitched, he thinks? And then he said, faggot.
I think that was the situation. I heard that MLB is looking into a slur, but that sounds like about right.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, it's funny. I just mentioned that story as if the quick pitching were the main reason it's famous. It's not because of the faggot part. So what do you think? Like, should you be allowed to say faggot? Is that pitcher a faggot? No, I'm kidding.
I mean,
what do you think about quick pitching?
I love it.
You have a hot take. Let me hear the sizzle.
No, I love it from the point of view of the pitcher. I think anything...
No shit from the point of view of the pitcher. How about from the point of view of the game, bro? The game.
I think it's great. I like it.
Yeah, adjust if you're a hitter, right?
Exactly. I mean, the entire job of the pitcher is to disrupt the timing of the hitter, whether that's accomplished by velocity, location...
Or doing a Cueto dance.
Yeah, whatever it is, if you can mess up their timing, then that's... great. And I think it, like, I liked Johnny Cueto, but watching him do that, like, I feel like I have almost like a whole new respect for him as a pitcher, because he's aware enough.
Do what?
Sorry, what'd you say?
You said watching Cueto do that. What does he do?
Oh, he does, like, the shimmy shake, or then he'll, like,
midway in his delivery, he'll, like, hesitate, right? Or he'll do a little hip dance and stuff, right?
Yeah, or he'll, like, he'll almost stop and then go, or he'll speed it up.
He can probably only do any of that when there's no one on base, right? He'd get balks every day, but yeah, I like him. He's having fun, even though he's a pitch-to-contact guy. The more I think about it, I'm sure we said this at the time, but he's perfect for the Giants in that park.
Absolutely.
Just like Melanson was.
All anybody right. is, really.
Yeah, like. I know. I know. Really, you're not kidding. Any pitcher. All right, so, but do you think that, I don't know, has there been language suspensions in baseball? I can't think of any. I don't know of any, right?
I don't think anything for, like.
Do you think there should be? How PC are you?
No, I mean, I don't. I think the only way you can really suspend somebody is if they start screaming that towards a fan.
Right. I'm sure it's not in their contract, too. I'm sure, like, there's nothing in your contract that says you can't call other players gay. Like,
yeah, I think this is only a story probably because the microphones picked up on it or something.
Yeah, and it was already a story before. It was already a story that the teams got into it, and then a little mini discussion about quick pitching came up yesterday.
Oh, I see.
And then it came out that he probably said faggot, and he apologized after the game, which seems weird to people. People are like, "Why is he apologizing for?" Anyway, quick pitching, I'm all for it too. All right,
sucks to be him. I mean, to deal with
who Pilar, all the PC. Oh my god.
I mean,
you said faggot. Oh my god. There's gonna be like he's gonna be driving. It'll be like a horror movie or that commercial, and then. Like, people are jumping on his car. Like, there's a gay guy with his shirt off and nipples pierced on his windshield trying to break in. Like flies.
It's crazy, yeah.
Poor
witch. He's going to be literally painted for one bad moment that he very easily could have just said something else.
Right, right. I know that's what sucks about faggot, too, when guys say it, is, like, in that context, is it's not at all, like, you're gay. Like, South Park said.
Yeah, what if he just said, like, a-hole?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you fuck, you dick.
It's like, no big deal at all.
Right, right. Like, faggot is not, like Bill Burr says. People are uptight about language.
Like, I don't think it was an intent. I don't think the person, Jason Mott, that he said it to, if there's something there and, like,
are you saying Jason Mott's gay?
If he is, and it's like a well-known thing, then I could see.
Yeah. Or if
he's
black and he said something. Oh. I don't say the N-word. I don't say, quote, the N-word, quote.
Okay.
I hate it when they say that on the news. All right, so anyway, Jay-Z's mom was on the news this morning, and I was like, the news has nothing to talk about. They have Jay-Z's mom on the news.
It's that guy, LeVar Ball, everywhere.
Dude,
have you seen him?
Yeah, he wants $3 billion for his sneakers.
Yeah, his son is, like, going to be the number two pick, and he is selling those, like, you know the flip-flops that have, like, the Velcro that you can wear in, like,
yes.
showers at camps that, like, there's, like, Jordan ones? He's charging $200 for those.
Are they ugly? I saw his sneakers.
They're terrible.
They're ugly.
Big baller brand.
Dude, and he said $500. Yeah, it'd probably be $3 billion for them to take my shoe company. That's like, he's kidding, obviously. But they're smart, man. His dad knows how to market. Like,
yeah, he just says outrageous
stuff.
He's
like
stuff.
Warren Sapp or somebody who is like marketing yourself by being. But it's crazy to do that today. Like, you know how careful he's got to be? Like, if he says one, speaking of Pilar, if he says one maybe off color or racist or something thing, he's out, right? If he even insinuates Jews are bad, over.
Well, he was on Colin Cowherd's show yesterday, and Colin Cowherd has this female assistant who's like
blonde bimbo.
Yeah, and she asked LeVar Ball a question, basically like, "Well, shouldn't you be marketing stuff to women too?" And he just goes, "Well, I don't need their business."
Oh,
and,
yeah, I heard
she
that.
Got like super offended.
fuck her.
I mean,
fuck her.
Dude, like, he
get offended.
You know what's crazy?
I'm entitled to have commercials directed at me. It's like, how about we let's call the tampon company and get mad that they don't market tampons to us.
You know what is amazing is all of these people that get offended at this guy who's clearly trolling everybody.
Right, right.
It just makes the whole thing even better for him.
Right,
all
right.
All press is good
right.
press in his
exactly,
eyes.
Exactly, exactly. That's why I saw the story, because he's like, they don't think they need to market to women.
So, like, the people that are
That's
getting
marketing.
Really offended,
they're
I guarantee.
They're marketing for him.
Yeah, they're like closet, like, well, I'm going to save up $500 so I can buy me some big ballers.
Yo, they're literally marketing for him by bitching about it. All right, so wait, let's go back to the conversation, though. But so we love you. Who has the second pick?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, wow. Oh, sweet.
So he's going to probably be a
And
Laker.
Who's the first pick in
Celtics?
NBA? No, I mean, who's the player?
Markelle Fultz. He's a point guard from Washington.
You know, I told somebody we were making up black names, not in a racist way. Nobody write us, PC police. But we were thinking D-apostrophe is the formula. And do you mind if I tell them you're genius?
Yeah, it was good.
You
right?
came up with D Emmanuel.
Yeah,
and I told people at work, and they were like, "Oh my god, that's the best black name ever! Like that's the best hypothetical name ever."
D Emmanuel Stewart.
D Emmanuel, or he's
Williams.
Half Jewish, and he's D Emmanuel Goldenstein Blatt.
D Emmanuel Kaplan.
That is, dude. I'm naming my kid D Emmanuel if I marry a black woman. Okay, so with positions, would you like? What positions do you think are the most scarce today? I feel like when prospects are involved, that position scarcity almost shouldn't matter. Like if you're the team giving up a good guy, maybe besides catcher, like if you have the nut player at any other position, if you're getting back prospects, I don't really care what position they are.
Agree.
Like, but it does add value to the team getting the one, obviously, right?
Yep.
Like, the team getting the one, obviously, if a position like catcher is scarce, then Luke Roy's price tag is going to be higher or whatever. So,
yep.
I don't know. This is sort of also goes back to the question I asked you 2 weeks ago. Like, if you were drafting a team from scratch, and again, by the show ratings, it goes by position. Like, it goes by 1 to 100. Would you take first overall? Would you rather have a, like, say there's a scale per position. Would you rather take a, you could get a 99 closer, a 98 overall first baseman, or a 99 DH. Maybe, let's say, a right fielder that's 96 overall, right? You follow? And mm-hmm. then maybe, say, shortstop would be 88 and catcher would be 88. Center field 89-90.
Well, I'm gonna take this from a viewpoint of real life right now with actual depths of players. So I'm just gonna make a few observations about certain positions. So shortstop, obviously, I would always traditionally want that, but right now there are a lot of good shortstops in the game. So I probably would not take a shortstop with one of my first couple picks because they go 15 deep with pretty good players.
Right.
And then
in baseball right now.
Yeah, and then even when you go into the farm systems, like there's J.P. Crawford
right.
and the Phillies. The Yankees have
Ahmed Rosario's coming, bro.
Ahmed Rosario, Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber. Weimer.
Gleyber. That's my boy. So shortstop I probably would not take. Catcher, obviously, I think is like the scarcest position.
At the moment.
Yes. Center field is kind of weak, actually, when you think about it. Like, there are a lot of good defensive center fielders, but, like, hitting and defense together, which it just makes it even more crazy how good Mike Trout is.
It's retarded. I mean, it's retarded. It's boring. It's actually boring how good he is. Like, he's just so consistently amazing.
And then so, I would say first baseman I would also actually rank higher than I normally would.
At this time? You
right
mean
now.
At this slice of time today in 2017?
Correct.
Why is that? Because there's five elite ones and then not so great?
Yeah, because I think that the top-tier first baseman, Goldschmidt, Votto, who else?
Goldschmidt, Votto,
Rizzo,
Freddie Freeman so far. And
yeah.
then maybe Encarnacion before the season was in that.
Miggy.
And Miggy. And then the drop, then the next wave. I don't even know who starts the next wave.
Exactly. So, yeah, normally there are a lot of good hitting first basemen.
Ryan Zimmerman starts the next wave, even though he's killing it this year.
Right. So,
but that doesn't mean scarce, though, does it? Like, I mean, I was reading an article that still can mean that you value the position more, but with your first pick, like, scarce to me means that there are just not that many overall, but just because there's a drop off between the top five, I would say, who would you imagine is, like, about the average first baseman in baseball right now? Somebody like maybe Hosmer, or he's probably better than average.
Justin Smoke.
Somebody like that. I would much rather end up with him. Like, pretend we were doing a pool, a fantasy draft of all the players in baseball right now. I don't know. I'd much rather wait on first base, even though I hear you that there's only so many top ones. That's sort of different to me than a position like catcher, where there's just, like, not that many at all. And it's not, like, like...
I'm not saying I would make first base, like, my top priority.
Well, answer my original question. Which would you think, on my scale, my BS hypothetical scale? I said I would take a third baseman who's maybe, like, a 93 on my thing, who's, like, a good balance of, like, a power hitter and a fielder help. And
yeah, I would take Nolan Arenado probably.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's exactly like, because he's not as good a bat as whoever, you know, I don't know, Bryce Harper or something, but third base is rarer than right field.
Yeah, and especially because third basemen a lot of times are the key people for left-handed hitter shifts. So, I think third base, Nolan Arenado, then maybe the second round I would look to maybe try and grab, like, Gary Sanchez, if he's still available.
Yeah. You think he would last that long? If you did a fantasy draft right now of all the teams.
We're talking like a real 32 team.
Real 32 team. The whole player pool is here now.
Well, I think that the top starting pitchers, like the elite ones, I think would all probably get picked.
I think age matters a lot. Like, I think the MLB The Show is sort of accurate with it, that when you run a new league, if you do a fantasy draft, age matters so much,
of course,
too, obviously. And also there'll be, like, old relievers that are like a 90 overall and everyone's taking 75s. Yep. Like, because they're younger
and they have the potential
relievers. Gary Sanchez, I think he would be a second round is so high, but 32 teams, you're right. I don't know, because in fantasy drafts he went in like the sixth round. You know what, I would take him in the second round if I were a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But maybe I'm falling into that is because of scarcity, right? Like, are the top I mean, he's probably, age included, the most valuable catcher besides Wilson Contreras. I mean, he's ahead of Wilson Contreras.
He's well ahead of him at
this
point.
Yeah, I mean, like, him and Wilson, and who else are young catchers? Well, Salvador Perez is still 27, but he has the miles of a 50-year-old.
Yep, and then even in the minor league ranks, it's, like, totally barren. Like, the Phillies have one really good catching prospect, I think. Texas may have had one or has one, and then other than that, I mean, there's no one. And even look at the players we thought were, like, great catchers, like Luke Roy cannot hit this year.
But now here's the counter argument, and Luke Roy is struggling. Yeah, I know. He by the way, though, he's picking it up. He's hitting 300. I have him in my fantasy team. He's cute. I just had a brain fart because I was thinking about Yu Darvish's, like, his flow. You know, they call that when your hair comes down and flows out. He has it very good. I had it for a little bit when I had long hair. So, but here's the counter argument. If you just having the best for the sake of being the best at a position doesn't necessarily give you an advantage the same way it may in fantasy sports. Maybe, because, like, I don't know, like, if you say you take Gary Sanchez in the first round just because you want to have the best catcher, like, you're going to be behind with a big bat or something. Like, even though everybody else is doing it, even though you're going to dominate that slot, so to speak, you still don't have a good, you know what I mean, power hitter or something. Like,
right. Yeah.
That is a giant impact on me, is, like, where the league is at, but it can't be that big.
I agree. I think that this scenario, though, I'm more comfortable having Gary Sanchez as opposed to who's the Mets catcher? Rene Rivera?
Yeah.
I'd much rather have Gary Sanchez than, like, even, say, like, the 15th best catcher.
I understand.
Than have
Justin Smoke to...
Yeah, like Cespedes to Aaron Hicks.
Got you.
Like, I think that is... especially too, like Gary Sanchez has less than like 1 year of service time. Like he really is like, in my opinion, like a jewel, like to start a franchise. Like
I would agree. I was just on an article before the season, I think, with teams' overall trade value. This is similar to the team we did a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what episode it was, but where we just did like the all value team, basically, where it was like today, who is the value? Like where is?
Yeah,
who has the value, including age, right?
Yeah, who has the most surplus value relative to their contract? And
I'm gonna pause age. For a minute and find this, and then we'll finish in like 5 minutes. And we're back. Sorry, what I was at. So Tom and I just took a little break. Tom went to take a pee pee. I went to look for this article. I thought I found it. We hit record again. I asked Tom who he thought number one overall was, and when he was about to answer, I realized I was reading it wrong, and it was not, in fact, Jonathan VR, and I'm an idiot. Also,
Jonathan VR.
Yanni. Also, Yanni, your food is ready. Also, I went on ESPN.com with Thomas Peepee, and the headline was, Kevin Pillar should be suspended for his anti-gay slur. And I don't know who some gay guy wrote it. No, I'm kidding. But it's funny that we were just saying how he shouldn't be suspended. We got to be forgetting a precedent, right? For somebody has to have gotten suspended for what they say. But I don't know of one.
The closest thing was that guy Riley Cooper on the Eagles.
Oh, when he dropped the N-bombs outside the club or whatever? Did he get suspended?
In a concert, like a Kenny Chesney concert. I think he got suspended like one game.
But he was singing along. That's what Kenny Chesney, he has the crowd at one point go, kill them N-words, kill them N-words.
Really?
No, I'm making fun of the South.
Like, holy crap. Like,
you just believe
me? I was like,
me?
What?
Yeah, country's concerts turn into KKK rallies.
Like, oh, jeez.
Really?
Like, well, that's why they're so upset.
So this is a good. That was a good comp. And remember when the big center on Indiana who sucks now said no homo. That
Jermaine
was a
O'Neal.
Thing. No, Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert.
He was like something. Yeah, no homo. And then I think LeBron also said like, or he was talking about LeBron. He's like, yeah, you do a really good job of cutting and penetrating. No homo. And then he had to apologize. So, I couldn't find the article, but who do you think are some of the players with the most overall trade value?
Yep. And so, just to reemphasize, we're taking into account age,
everything,
salary, position. So, Chris Bryant is probably up there.
And this is the same answer. This is the same question as a new fantasy draft. Like, it's the same list. It has to be.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think Corey Seager, just because he's a shortstop and has one more year. That's silly, though. I'm falling into the enamored with potential stuff. Chris Bryant already won a friggin' MVP, and I'm saying I'd rather have a shortstop.
I agree, yeah. I think
you agree with what? That you'd rather have Seager or that I'm stupid?
I agree that that's an overreaction because...
You agree that I'm stupid. Say it.
You're stupid.
Come on, man.
You're so stupid.
You hurt my feelings.
Yeah, Chris Bryant, I'd say... I don't want to go too crazy based on just, like, the controllable years, but, like, Nolan Arenado's got to be in there as well.
What does he have, 3 more years?
I think he's the year after Harper. So Harper's a free agent.
Yeah, so 2.5, the rest of this season and 2 more.
Yep. And then, you know, Harper and Trout have to be in there as well.
Yeah, well, deals included, too, like their current contract. Trout is number one, actually. We're retarded. I can't believe we forgot about him.
Right.
In a second, Trout is number one because he's on a great deal. None of the other guys do you get to keep. Trout is the greatest player of our generation. See, dude, it's the same thing with, like, the Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera. Like, how do we forget Trout in these conversations? We're so fucked up. Sorry, I'll bleep it out. We're so messed up that we fall into this, man.
Do you think when it's all said and done, he could potentially be the best player in the history of baseball?
Well, I don't know the history of baseball that well, but it's hard for me to say. What do you think? I really wish I could answer.
I think at this point in his career, up to this age, I think he is more impressive than any player in the history of the game.
Yeah, I mean, on pace for is a very... you know, loaded or like tricky thing to say because right. It's like a week into the season. It's like he's on pace for 289 RBIs, but Mike Trout is on pace to have. I think he's on the same pace as like Mickey Mantle. I don't even think he's better than some of the greats. I think he's on pace for like comparable to the top five greatest players ever.
Yeah. I think he may be at the top of war through age. I think he's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's controlled through 2020, and he got a six-year, you know, $144 million extension. He signed it a couple years ago, but
his agent should be shot.
I know, man. I know. Maybe Mike Trout was just like, look, man, I got good investments. He knew Chipotle, or he knew he bought Facebook, you know what I mean? He was like, yo, I need this liquid right now, my bro. You think that you would never do that? Well, look, now friggin' what's-his-name is going to get $400 million. So, yes, his you're right.
His
Mike Trout
terrible.
Should have never signed that.
You can just take out an insurance policy based on some of the value you might lose in case, like,
yeah,
you,
no,
you die
there's no,
something.
There's no reason. You know what? It's like sort of – so 2020 – so he is the rest of this year, 2018, 2019, 2020. He signed through 2020. So more than Arenado, 3.5 more years at the greatest price you can ever expect to reasonably pay.
So, yeah, he's number one.
Which is – again, but still, it's so shocking that we forget, man. Like again, he's killing it. He has – you know, he's batting – 300 this year in his 13 homers. He's like second in the league in homers. He's had fourth in batting average, third in ribbies on a bad team.
I think that I don't think the Angels would ever do it, but we could get into some really interesting trade discussions between the Yankees and the Angels for Trout.
I don't know. I feel like this is, I don't mean we definitely can. But I the Yankees, it doesn't make sense for them to...
No, because we're just going to sign Bryce Harper.
Right. But, you know, maybe, you know, $300 million is still worth money to the Yankees. So maybe,
oh, of course.
Maybe it's worth it to, you know, trade a bunch of prospects and get him. Dude, so, I can't believe... I'm so jealous of you guys, you stupid assholes, who just automatically re-up your farm system in 1 year, and now you're amazing. And now your offense is exciting. You have like
a 6 month rebuild.
Dude, it's insane. And now you have a great you never even had a losing season.
No.
That's so crazy. I hate you.
That's why Cashman, I think, does not get anywhere near the credit he deserves. Yes, he's, you know, on the
If I had that kind of money, I'd be way better. I'd win a World Series every year. What do you say to that? But respond to this stupid sports radio caller.
I mean, all I would say is if that's the way you view it, then you're a moron.
Well, that is the way I view it. How could you say any differently? You don't think you could do a better job?
No, I don't.
And Girardi overmanages. He's doing all this gobbledygook. You got to go with your gut. I don't care if it's a lefty on a lefty. You got to keep the guy in the game.
Yeah, he's the worst.
What do you say to that, Tom?
This Joe.
Respond.
Yeah, we need Terry Francona.
No, don't double down. Respond.
No, I agree with the caller.
God,
I'm
trolling
you.
You're supposed to...
I'm reverse trolling you.
Yeah, but that's annoying for the... You're supposed to play the other role. You know, A-Rod is doing color commentary, I believe. I think he called the game in Fox Sports 1 yesterday, did color commentary. Or tonight.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I knew he was going to do color commentary for one of the games. I didn't know what it was.
A-Rod to make FS1 booth debut for Thursday's Yankees-Royals game. A-Rod is back with the Yankees. Ho, ho, ho. Only this time he'll be calling their game from the broadcast booth.
Do you think he's just going to continue the rest of his life to have this, like, enormous ego and just try and do all of these, like, crazy things? Like, anything he gets the itch for, he wants to be, like, the best at?
Yeah, I don't know if that's ego necessarily, though, but yes. But I don't agree with you. I think that he's actually really good at it.
No, oh, he is.
You
yeah.
think his drive is out of some sickness? Like, I got to be the best?
Maybe.
Like, no, I have a hot take.
No. Look, it used to be.
Most successful people, I think, are insane. Like, when you're the best ever at something, I suspect and gather that a lot of those people have that harmful to their personal life
yeah.
drive that makes them want to be the best, like, no matter what. Yeah. Like, you see Bryce Harper, he's having an MVP season. He's going to win the MVP, and he, like, will slam the bat after a strikeout, like, because mm-hmm. he so expects insanity from himself, you know? Yo, by the way, before we go, he signed that other year. You're like coveting. You're that. I think that's one of the Ten Commandments is don't covet another man's right fielder. And you're already like infatuated with him as a Yankee fan. Do you think that's fair? So, what if you get Machado and not him?
So don't covet the other man's right fielder. We'll just put Bryce in left because he can't displace Judge. No, I would be.
You think Judge is a better fielder?
No, but. If I can't covet the right fielder, I can covet the potential left fielder.
No, I was just thinking if he actually came, where would they put him?
I think they would just put Judge in left field.
Yeah, they should because he's worse, right? But yeah. Go on. Sorry, I hear your joke.
Machado, yes. Of course I would love him, but...
Gleyber Torres. Spoiled that you're just made a like meh like are you hungry? And you Tom made the face of like meh, take it or leave it, like an upside down smile.
I'd rather have Harper than Machado,
dude. Nah, Machado. Nah, I don't know.
Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber. Chase Headley. All right, but they were talking about Buster Olney was saying that Bryce Harper spent more time in the locker room and stuff lately. Does that scare you? That he's going to click with Ryan, be like, oh my God, Ryan Zimmerman and Daniel Murphy, y'all are my boys. What if he likes Trump? Like, what if Trump makes friends with him and he's like, I got to stay in D.C. and help my boy out?
That would be a sad day.
What do you think? Does that scare you at all, though? Seriously?
No, not at all. Like, I'm so confident that he's going to end up on the Yankees.
But can't the Nationals come up with the money?
They could, and they... are obviously like the other biggest competitor, but like I just it's almost like even like a foregone conclusion in my head that he's gonna end up playing right field for the Yankees.
You're gonna get your heart broken. This is me with LeBron. When I told you I became a fake Knicks fan, I watched Al Harrington and Eddie Curry and old Stephon Marbury. I watched this dog shit team for a year and a half before LeBron because I wanted to not be called a front runner when the Knicks got him. I was so hyped. I remember the day of the decision so well. I was working at TKTS in Times Square, and this fat guy I worked with at the end of the booth thought he knew everything. He was like, I got a text. He's coming to New York. and then he gets another, and then later in the night he's like, I got a text. They're booking a party in Miami. I guess he's going to Miami, maybe, they're saying. Or maybe the thought is that he's signing here and partying in Miami. But how funny is that? I got a text. He's coming to New York.
And I was actually in Times Square, too, for the decision.
Where'd you watch it?
I was at Bank of America on a summer internship, and there was, like, a conference room. We were all sitting around, and, yeah, I remember it. There was, like, a lot of fake Knicks fans, myself included.
Did you see me on the TV? I was out front of Rachel Nichols when she went to the report at Madison Square Garden. Mm. Me and my friend, he met me after work, and we walked to the garden. And
oh,
she
really?
Was out there, and you see me in the report, like, get a phone call. My friend's like, yo, you're on TV. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't realize she was talking. And I turned to her, and I'm like, yo, we're on. And then like, halfway through, we start going, woo! And then I went into a bar, and somebody threw a glass at the floor. It was, like, a Knicks bar or something. But everyone was like me probably at that point, like, yeah, now we could stop front running.
Yeah, now we can stop watching basketball.
Now we could just give up. That, and last thing I'll say, this episode is long. Thanks for listening.
Maybe we'll chop it up.
Yo. Well, we can't because we don't have an intro and stuff, bro. But listen to me. Don't not enjoy now, right? Because here's a little story. Let me take you back to 2015. I was a Mets fan, and I am, and we were in the World Series, and some asshole... idiot fans were worried about re-signing Daniel Murphy or not during the playoffs, and I was trying to enjoy the World
Series.
And
Matt Harvey.
And they thought we'd be there for a while, and it's like, you know what? Let's just enjoy the present, right? So, shut up about Bryce, right? Relax.
Okay.
Have some spiritual principles, you jerk.
I'm pretty relaxed.
No. Enjoy the success you have now. Good?
Yes.
All right. Last thing. Who are the Yankees going to trade for at the deadline? A starter, a catcher, a reliever?
Jose Quintana.
You really think so? That's a sizzling take. Don't back down. All right. Yo,
yeah.
go to cabfigure.com and write us or something, or leave tweets at Tom.
Yeah, if you can, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It's the single most important thing you could do for us. Thank you.
Or leave any review, actually.
Preferably 5 stars.
Yeah, yeah, but even if it's not, that helps us.
Just don't post a 0.
You know what? The people who would leave a bad review, we shouldn't tell them it would help us. So here's the deal. It'll really help us if you leave a good review, and really hurt us if you leave a bad one. So leave an honest review. And really neutral us if you leave a half one. Bye.